Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today we have Eric Kant, who is an integrator who specializes in technology acquisition and implementation. Eric, the managing member of Kant Consulting, a company that he founded about 3 years ago. Eric, welcome. Thanks for joining today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we definitely are interested in what you have to bring. You have a blog that you've been doing for quite some time now on cybersecurity and business. Tell us about that blog and what you do there.
Yeah, the blog is trustedops.com, and I blog about the technology that we get to work with. We specialize in cyber, but very unique areas of cybersecurity around the implementation and automation and compliance process. And so a lot of the blog is dedicated to the physical interdependencies of cybersecurity.
Okay, and what can somebody, give us some examples of some of your latest posts of what somebody can expect to see there.
Yeah, most recently here we have a ransomware playbook and white paper that was developed in a joint task force that we were privileged to be part of last year, called the Analytic Exchange Program, half government analysts, half private sector analysts working on topics of national significance. And so there's a complete ransomware playbook and white paper listed up there, as well as, you know, articles on how to solve very complex problems using multiple technologies.
And that is definitely on the political aspect right now with what's been happening over the last couple of weeks, the ransomware thing.
Yeah, it ends up being very interesting, and some of it is phenomenally insidious, like it asks you to infect two other friends to get unlocked. And it's really ransomware as a service, and there's a complex set of infrastructure that has, you know, recently come into play. And it's the same challenge, interesting enough, with the same infrastructure that's able to support, you know, new businesses in the cloud. And why there is so much new technology is because, you know, just 5 years ago, to have some of the capabilities that we can just go get now through a website, you would have to have servers and people and, you know, a lot of effort for the criminals as well. You know, you just go online and you can do ransomware as a service.
That is amazing. That's a little bit twisted, that whole infect two friends to get unlocked.
Yeah, the prisoner's dilemma is a very interesting. We saw another variant that scans your system and looks for banking records and will ransom you based on what they think you can pay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So tell us about your background.
But the real challenge is going to be the infection of IoT devices.
Yeah.
Right. So when we've seen this now in security cameras that got ransomware, infecting the actual cameras themselves and lock them up. So if you extrapolate that, your TV, your Amazon Echo, your car, eventually might be ransomed.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself. What's your passions? How did you get to where you're at this stage of life?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an interesting story. So I come from a family that ran Coney Island in New York for many years, working on rides and protecting the amusement park. A million people a day would come through there on some days. and then joined EMS and fire rescue and worked a number of presidentially declared disasters in Florida, and eventually built command and control solutions for 9/11, Katrina, and many other events worldwide, including security events.
Interesting. Well, let me take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back to talk to Eric some more.
Here's something important that you'll want to put into your calendar. The annual Cyber Symposium, Wednesday, November 1st through Friday, November 3rd, 2017. Brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Center. The annual Cyber Symposium is where elected officials and decision makers get the latest information on the key cyber issues of today. It's where they become better equipped to take action on the cybersecurity issues for your state, your city, and your company. RSVP now at www.cybersymposium.org. That's www.cybersymposium.org. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Eric Kant today, the managing member of Kant Consulting, about cybersecurity and what they do for cybersecurity. And when we talked originally, we talked, you know, what is the definition of cybersecurity? I've asked many people, but Eric had a unique approach to this based on that background of being an incident responder. So Eric, talk to us about, you know, how your view of cyber and how you approach it is from with your clients and your operations.
Yeah, so all too often we see cyber as a technology problem, and then it's thrown to the tech people, and we don't view it that way. We see cyber as a behavior and a culture problem that you can apply technology to, just like you would apply technology to, you know, other parts of your company. And in essence today, any company that's functioning is now a technology company that has, we build cars or we build widgets or, you know, we do X, Y, and Z. But there's this underlying current of technologies that make any modern business work, and they're all strung together now in not only very unique but complex ways. And it's actually better now for the consumer because of that, because you can now go get five or six components that solve your problem very uniquely and very efficiently and enhance those. But you have to have a mindset to thinking that that's how you want to solve these problems, right? Because monolithic solutions today, you know, the businesses are too complex for that.
Yeah. So when you're looking at things from a business problem, a people problem, technology is really the parts that connect the people with the virtual. How do you make that connection? I mean, literally, we're talking about cybersecurity, we're talking about security on data, security on systems, security on infrastructure. Yes, there's people that use it.
And physical security, right?
Physical.
You can't isolate
facilities.
You know, often the CTO and the physical security guy may not be chatting, or the CTO and the building information management person who's running the building infrastructure. And I think you'll see here there was a report a couple of weeks ago about a number of departments had, you know, rented buildings from Chinese owners who owned the building information management system.
Yeah.
Is that a vulnerability? Well, you know, it depends on what you're doing and how concerned you are. You know, there's really two different companies out there. Guys who are looking to check the box, and they don't care what level of security they're getting, and then people who really want to do it.
Okay. So when we're talking about, though, that...
Sorry.
So we're talking about connecting...
No, please.
Connecting digital, virtual things with people. What's the process for making that connection?
Well, that's different depending on what the device is today, right? Because that digital to human interface is unique based on, you know, is it an Amazon Echo device? Is it your cell phone? Is it your computer? Is it your TV? Your Xbox? You know, so I often characterize, you know, we see the industrial control system is really the digital representation, the physical representation of the digital world, right?
Yeah.
The digits go through and it opens the valve and closes the valve. In many ways, these products that now touch our lives are, you know, social media can be seen as the industrial control system for human behavior.
Yeah. I guess I hear a lot of people say that, you know, focus on the people aspect. I hear a lot of people say focus on the technology aspect, but it's really that connection that needs to be made.
It's the culture.
Culture, okay.
Right? That connection is the culture that you instill in a company. And this is very interesting, especially if you're dealing with a startup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you and I are starting a startup company and we have a culture of high security and we start that from day one and we make it achievable and build it as we go, when we later have to comply with some cyber protocols, FISMA or CGIS for the law enforcement people, FISMA for the federal government, FedRAMP, DFARS, you know, the federal acquisition rules, any of those compliance regimes become easier because we've baked it into the solution from day one. We've had many companies I've worked with get to a point where they've sold something to the federal government and then have to comply with FISMA, and nobody even, you know, told them what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you haven't thought about some of those elements, and you have to separate cybersecurity for your company from secure cyber product management, that means that you have a cyber culture in the product management process, in the software development lifecycle. Right? Securing the company and securing the management product management cycle, if you are developing technology, right, two different things.
Yeah. So, you know, there we were talking about startups and baking in security from the beginning. A lot of companies, you know, they're already... The train's already moving. How do we start from, you know, putting that in or trying to do a bake-in of security for a company that might not be brand new?
You have to, I would start by assessing the potential marketplaces that you may get acquired into and then backtrack the security compliance requirements to what your existing capabilities are.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly try to enhance those capabilities based on some end goal that gets you to a sellable product, right? Because at the end of the day, you want to care about cybersecurity because you want to have a secure solution because it will be the market differentiator of tomorrow.
Okay. So give me some.
If I've built a solution that's cyber secure from day one, and I know it cost me next to nothing, and you haven't, I'm going to win the game when it comes down to a head-to-head sale.
Yeah.
Right.
Give me some examples of you know, how companies from your, you know, companies you've worked with that you can give examples to our listeners to say, here's some ways you can do things yourself that will save you a lot of pain in the future.
Yeah, like I said, bake it into the culture. Start today with a piece of paper and write down exactly, we're going to be cybersecure and we're going to do X, Y, and Z to be cybersecure. Something is better than nothing. And if you go to my blog, and I can send this to you, there's a great DHS publication that gives you a perfect 1-2-3 roadmap of the basics of what you can do. And none of that costs money. And then you put additional layers on that to not only help you comply, but then be much more competitive because you know about these things. So there's a free intrusion detection system out there, semi-free, open source product that you can run that does intrusion detection called Security Onion. Right? Download that and run that and monitor your network. Because at the end of the day, if you're not watching what's going on in the wire, you got no clue.
Yeah. And intrusion detection, explain what that is for people who might not know.
Basically a system of open source products that are built into an environment that can do monitoring of your actual packets as they pass through the network and then report on known, you know, malicious activity.
So you're monitoring your network traffic, things that come into your company from the outside world, and trying to determine if it's something you should shut down, allow, or
I run one on my network, my kids' network, or my mother's network, because if you're not watching it, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just that simple, right?
Yeah. Well, let's take...
that would be one of our rules, because if you and I are starting this new company that's going to be hyper cyber secure, because we know it's a market differentiator, the rule is going to be... we do intrusion detection all the time. We know to be looking, because if you're not looking, you know that old adage of a hacker is in your system 24 months before you know he's there? Yeah, except if it's ransomware or something like that, you know immediately then, right?
Yeah. Well, let's take a break and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking to Eric Kant, the managing member of Kant Consulting, about some of his experiences and how you as a business owner can take things into your own hands and do some of the precautions and learn life lessons from, you know, his many clients to apply to your business in ways that, to get started, to say, let's start to bake in and consider be a cybersecure company at the business tier. Eric, welcome back. And you started giving us some examples of free softwares and stuff that companies can use. We started out with intrusion detection. You had a couple more that you had mentioned to me that you have on your blog, some good how-tos of how businesses can start to bring in technologies and solutions that they can do it on their own.
Yeah, and you know, we spoke about startups and people who are going to have one or two, you know, they've got some malware and they've got some good, you know, again, policies, procedures, they're doing some good training, you got some good cyber hygiene going on, and then you can add layers to it, because if you're a fully fledged modern security, or not even security, if you're a fully fledged company that cares and has cyber compliance, you know, you may be running 50 different cyber products in your security operations center. And so we work and help larger companies automate the cyber process to get better return of investment on their analytic dollars. So now you're spending money on cyber, right? And you have all these compliances, and you now may have 50 different products, including your intrusion detection system. How do they all work well together? And Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, who has a project called Integrated Adaptive Cyber Defense, and we blog and have worked with them at their last community day, is taking these products and stringing them together and automating those processes to show what gives you a good return of investment.
Okay. And
Mike, as you can imagine, if you've got 50 products and you've got a company that's that big, it's cyber is costing you, and cyber and physical and cybersecurity combined is neither one of those makes a company money, right? They cost you.
Mm-hmm. So what areas are you seeing, that you can recommend people to get return on investment for cyber? That's a curious conversation to me.
The return of investment, so here's a very simple mantra, right? You can't give a company a compliance that they can't conform with. And so it's got to be balanced based on the requirements of the company, but it can't be forgotten,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you forget it, you'll have to pay for it at some point down the road, either in lost customers or, I've had two or three or more products at this point literally spend $500,000, $1 million trying to come up to compliance. And there's just some things, if you didn't think about and bake in from day one, can cost you, depending on how you're architectured and a lot of variables, a lot of money down the road.
Yeah. What kind of, give us some examples.
And you really got to keep in mind when you look at products today, it's a cyber supply chain, right? Because everything is built on libraries that are built by other people and built on, this stuff, even in the products themselves, there's a hyper level of complexity and multiple product use, right, that we don't think about because, our developers are making those decisions, right?
Okay. Do you have some examples you could give us of things that have done a lot of good for companies being able to get a return on investment if they implemented this one or these two things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once you start monitoring and you're seeing what kind of alerts you may be getting, right? Because remember, if you're not watching, you don't know. Once you know, you can then start to automate, like my intrusion detection system found X, Y, and Z, and because of that pattern, I'm going to update my antivirus. And then give my antivirus a new pattern for it to understand, based on something the intrusion detection system found.
Okay.
Right, and that if you started out and were doing that with open source products would be manual, and when you buy some of the more sophisticated solutions from the cyber providers, those are all integrated. But, you have to understand that cyber is about fidelity and not everyone can do the same thing.
Yeah. So we had talked earlier about anonymous communications, and you recommended that some businesses might use this for some reason, for some of their business means. You even said the Tails program or platform. Can you give us some examples of when and or what anonymous communications are, and when we might want to use them as a recommendation in a business environment?
Sure, absolutely. when we're sending people overseas, we would use products like Tails, and Tails is an anonymous server device that you can go get and download, much like Security Onion and some of these other open source tools. And it's a completely configured Linux environment that has open source Office and email and chat and all of that. But everything is proxied through the Onion router.
So explain what that means.
The Onion router is the Tor network is a set of servers run by the community that provide anonymous communication. And there's a lot of detail in there. You can look it up on Wikipedia for those who are interested. But the Tor network, much like a VPN network, provides you anonymous access. Right, so we would use solutions like these when we send workers overseas, especially in countries that may be not so friendly, and they could use this, or we would swap out the proxy of the Tor network with our own VPN network, and they would not have a regular machine. The entire machine would then be loaded on a USB key, and then you would plug that in and boot off of the USB key to have your machine and all your encrypted data. And that provides extra levels of protection when you're working out of country or on networks that may be unsecure.
Okay, so we're talking about when we send employees overseas and we want to be able to communicate with them and not have them traced as to where they're at.
Well, if you're working in a foreign country, they don't have the same laws around the internet, and most of their internet companies are quasi-government entities. You know, you have to assume that whoever's backbone you're on can read and see everything that you can do. Gotcha. Unless you're doing something to circumvent that wherever you go. Starbucks, you go to work with a partner at Microsoft or IBM or I don't care what office you go to. Whatever network you're on, that person, depending on what they're monitoring, can see and touch a lot of your stuff.
So we're talking about keeping our private corporate information, our trade secrets, when we're on networks overseas.
Or just your activity, right? Your metadata and your activity today, you know, we all produce so much digital back trails that, you know, just why would you want to give people all that information?
Okay. So have you run into areas where people have used that information against some of your clients, and what types of examples can you give us?
Oh yeah. I mean, just recently here, we had a trucking company that had ransomware, and it ended up being from an insider threat model.
Okay, so something that somebody saw in their traffic when they were overseas that they used against them to be able to ransom them?
That's correct. And then provided, you know, access, social engineering and access into the system, and they were able to be, you know, accessed for ransomware.
Oh, interesting. Another thing we had talked about,
and of course, you know, ransomware just happens to be the sort of vector du jour. You know, you can't forget all the other traditional stuff that's out there.
Yeah. Right. Another thing we had talked about is you do your own pen testing internal, and you recommend to your clients ways they can do that. Tell us about that and what you do when you help people do their own pen testing or set up for that process.
Sure. Again, that's all about fidelity, right? And you can, there's no reason why you can't go download a tool like Kali Linux and do some basic scans from and around your own edge, right? Whatever that edge is, right? Wherever your router is and where that, you know, you have to determine that for your company. Or you can hire, and we work with a number of very reputable firms who do pen testing for thousands of servers for multiple companies and government entities. You know, there's fidelity, right? And granted, you downloading Kali Linux and doing some pen testing is, you know, not the greatest, but is it better than nothing? Yeah, of course it is.
Okay, so if you...
I mean, it's like CPR back in the day, right?
Yeah.
When they tell people should or you shouldn't do CPR, the answer is, you know, anything is better than nothing.
Yeah. If a company is new and they're trying to say, okay, I've heard this word pen testing, I'm hearing you tell me I can do it on my own, when and why do you start that? You know, if you've never done one before and you say, okay, I want to... People are telling me about this. Now Eric said I can download this version and use it. What am I looking for? What am I trying to protect against on the business front?
You know, you're really looking to do, it depends on what you're doing. So, right, you can really classify cybersecurity into two different areas. One is securing the business itself, right? And that's the business infrastructure and your continuity of business kind of guidelines and operations, right? Because, you know, most companies, the Small Business Association said that, you know, 60% of companies that get hacked are out of business, and I don't remember the X number of months, but they're still out of business, right? That's the end line. Then there is if you are developing software, right? And you're doing software development, there's cyber elements in the development process. So if you're following Agile or, you know, a good cyber security compliance doesn't care what process you're following, but it cares that you're following the process and you've properly documented the artifacts around that.
Okay. right?
Because if you didn't document it, and when we're doing venture capital due diligence around cybersecurity, you know, often they'll say, you know, did you build this securely? And the answer is always, of course. And then the next question is, well, show us the development guidelines you gave your developers telling them how to build it securely. And if you don't have those guidelines, then the developers did what they wanted to, because you have no proof that they didn't.
All right. And so pen testing can help identify these problems you might have?
So in Kali Linux, there's 300 different tools, and one of them is a web-based pen testing tool that will allow you to scan your own application for vulnerabilities. So you run that scan, and then you see what comes up as high, medium, and low, and you go mitigate those options, and you document the whole process in your Agile or Waterfall or whatever process you're following.
Okay.
Right, and that now makes you a more cyber secure company. And that's part of that culture, right? Doing that, to force that to happen a year down the line with a team of 20 people costs you quite a bit of money. To do that when we're two people, hey, every time we go through a process, a cycle, an agile cycle or a waterfall or whatever it is, we're going to do a scan and we're going to document it and we're going to put the remediation into the process for the next cycle. Right, and you keep doing that, and you become more and more secure as you go because you keep adding layers to the onion.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the advice that companies can take, at the especially your small business and everything. If people wanted to reach out and get a hold of you, tell us about what services you offer and how they might get in contact with you.
Yeah, so you can reach me on LinkedIn, trustedops.com. You can reach me on Twitter for sure as well at eTechOps. And we provide consulting services around that cultural problem, as well as we do quite a bit of research and development and tech scouting and implementation. So everything that we talked about here today is not only tools that we know of, but we've used in some implementation somewhere in the real world. And we know that it works. And we've done work now with multiple agencies through multiple domains. So if you've got a technology problem, we've got the right solutions that we put into a tech insertion model so that we know it works and gives us very quick implementation to updating what you're doing.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Eric. Definitely been interesting and given us a lot of useful advice that we can use. But thanks for joining today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me, and your time is appreciated.
All right. You have a great day. Bye.
Here's something important that you'll want to put into your calendar. The annual Cyber Symposium, Wednesday, November 1st through Friday, November 3rd, 2017. Brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Center. The annual Cyber Symposium is where elected officials and decision makers get the latest information on the key cyber issues of today. It's where they become better equipped to take action on the cybersecurity issues for your state, your city, and your company. RSVP now at www.cybersymposium.org. That's www.cybersymposium.org.
The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
You have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.